We've been in this series on being bold, and so today I want to continue that, and I want to talk a little bit. Hopefully I'll get to the outline in a second, so just hold on. If we don't ever get there, I promise you it'll be okay. God just put some stuff on my heart as we've been praying and throughout this week, and let me tell you what I've been thinking. First of all, let me just ask you: Have you ever come across somebody that you just would think they got something spiritual of God that I don't have? They seem to be stronger. They seem to be more powerful. There's just something going on. You ever just felt that in your life, that you get connected with people and you go, they got something that I want or I've missed? Or, you know, maybe you've heard them pray, and not because their prayers are loud or they use really big words. Just when they pray, you're going, wow, that just was powerful. Or maybe in life you've been interacting with them and you're just like, you know, they just don't seem to be shaken. There's stuff that goes on in everybody's life, and they just really seem to have something, this power to kind of live this out and continue to move forward. I don't know if you ever thought that. I've thought that about a lot of people in life and just wondered, what is it that they have? And then I just thought, you know what I think they have? I think they just have more power to live life out. And as I've been thinking about how do we be bold in life, I want to make sure that as we look at the book of Acts, we don't miss where this boldness came from. The difference that God makes in our lives, the power of the Holy Spirit as God sends the Spirit to live and dwell inside believers. And so up front, I want to be really, really clear. I may say some things today and you go, I don't know about that. It's okay. I never ask you to agree with everything I say in here. I'm fine with that. My hope is that maybe some of the stuff we'll say today and we'll talk about, you'll go, I need to dig in and find out about that. I need to read about that. I need to get into the Word of God myself and find out what he was talking about. When saying that to me would be one of the best things that could come out of today. So today, listen, if you're here and you don't believe in God and Jesus and all that, I want to tell you I'm really glad you're here, because I want you to know where this power that comes from that we talk about how we live our lives. And let me apologize to you first if you've been around Christians that don't seem to be any different from everybody else, because you go, well, I don't know what you're talking about. All they did was say they prayed and they go to church and their life seems the same. I want to tell you I'm sorry, because I really think they've missed out on what God wanted for their life. So if you're, I'm glad you're here, because even if you walk away and say, well, I don't know if I believe it or not, I just want you to know where this comes from to live out a transformed life. If you are here today and you're a follower of Christ, you're a believer, I am so glad you're here, because today I want to push in a little bit. All right, this is one of those times that I want to make you think, and I want to challenge you. And my prayer for us today is, as we go through this, your heart wouldn't be, I don't know, and shutting off. You would say, God, if you have more for me, I want all of you that I can handle. I want all of you that I can have whatever you have for me. Okay, so I'm going to lay that out now, because I know when you talk about the Holy Spirit, sometimes people go, you know, they put on the mental brakes and they're like, dude, why did I come today? You know, I mean, it's like, can I still slip out without everybody noticing? No, it's too late. You're stuck. No, just kidding. But I just want you to know, okay, this is, to me, it's a normal part of life. It's a normal part of pursuing God. And here's where all of this is kind of born from, why I want to talk about it today. When we read through the book of Acts, and we've been looking at Acts chapter 4 and 5, and even as you go on, you read of these incredible stories, these huge, bold moments in the life of believers. I mean, they're speaking boldly for God. Lives are being changed. They're getting beaten and whipped and thrown in jail, and angels are showing up, and chains are falling off, and they're walking out of jail. You know, and sometimes we can read that and go, wow, those people were nothing like me. Nothing like that has ever happened to me. I'm not one of them. I can't do this. I'm not part of that. There must have been something different. Or we can read that and think that was just normative everyday life. Like, wow, that must have been a crazy life where every day all this was happening. I just want to tell you, the book of Acts isn't a daily journal of someone's life. Okay, there were in-between times of these miraculous stories that we just don't read about. They didn't write them down. You know, hey, got up today and just talk to people about Jesus and nothing really happened. I mean, you know, you wouldn't be reading that either. You know, you'd be like, okay, get to the good stuff. You know, but I'm thinking, like, what was going on in the in-between times? You know, how did these moments of incredible miracle, miraculous power, how did they happen? How were these guys and ladies so bold in the moments that they needed to be, when there's got to be just this in-between time in life where you just got up and you went, not a whole lot happened today. It was just kind of another day. How do we live in the in-between time? How do we remain bold in the in-between time? Because here's where I am. I think for most people, you know, I was giving the 9 o'clock service a hard time. I told them, I said, you know, for most people that go to church at 9 o'clock, I already think you're more Christian than anybody else, right? To get up and go to church at 9 o'clock, aren't you thinking like, psh, you know? So I made a challenge. I said, if you really want to be super Christian, come to 7:30 service on Easter, right? And I will think you are really, really a Christian. All right, I mean, to get up out of bed and go to church at 7:30, you know what I mean? It's like, wow. No, but totally, just kidding. But the fact that you guys come to church and you're here regularly and you're pursuing God, and I think, do we ever just wrestle with where are we in all of this? How do we live every day boldly? How do we live boldly when it seems like God is quiet? How do we live boldly when the last miracle that happened was 3, 4, 5 days, weeks, months, years ago, when the last time we saw that kind of interaction that we've heard about or talked about, and it just seems like life has just been moving forward? How do we live boldly when there's pain and hurt and when there's struggle, when people let us down, when people choose to do things that we don't understand? How do we continue to live out the in-between time? So I want to talk about being empowered by the Holy Spirit, but I want that to be our context. Because it's one thing to talk about being powered by the Holy Spirit and go, hey, now, be filled with the Holy Spirit, run out, tell people about Jesus, and boom, all these miracles are going to happen. That may happen, and I pray that happens, because that, you know, I mean, can you imagine just how cool that would be? You know, today at lunch, you see, you know, somebody in a wheelchair, and you're like, in the name of Jesus, get up. And in the restaurant, they get up and run around. You'd be like, whoa. You know, I mean, can you imagine just what that, and I pray those kind of things happen. But what about just every day when we're just kind of saying, God, I just need your help to make it. So I want to talk about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to make us bold in the in-between times. And if you want to grab your outline, go ahead and grab those, because that'll force me to actually get into this. But in thinking about the Holy Spirit working through our lives, you can read throughout the whole Bible, right? In the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit has been active since the beginning of time, since God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible talks about the Holy Spirit came up on Joseph to help him lead, and Joshua to help him as he led the armies of God. Came up on Gideon to help Gideon lead the armies. Came up on Samson to give Samson power. The Holy Spirit came up on Moses and the prophets. The Holy Spirit gave words to people in the Old Testament to give to God's people to encourage. That's what the Bible talks about, the Spirit of God leading us. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says he came up on Saul. The prophet Samuel came to him and said, Saul, the Spirit's going to come on you and prophesy, and you are going to be a changed person. So this is God's activity throughout the whole Bible. In the New Testament, we get up there and we say, you know, the Holy Spirit is actually how Jesus came into the world, right? I mean, you remember the story, the angel tells Mary she's going to have a baby, and Mary's like, I've never been with a man. And the angel tells her, it's okay, the power of the Holy Spirit will conceive within you, so this child of God could come forth. It's the activity. And then Jesus throughout his life, empowered by the Holy Spirit, and Jesus gives his life for us on the cross. The Bible says the Son of God was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he promised his followers, he said, I will send you a gift. Do you know what that gift was? He said, I'll send you a gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit. He says, and now I will send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised. But stay here into the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. The same powerful Holy Spirit, same power that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus said, when I go away, God's going to send the Spirit. And so the Spirit of God, Jesus, he says, it's good that I go away. Because when I'm here, I'm with you. But when the Spirit comes, the power, the Spirit of God will be in you. And so we pick up the story in the book of Acts. This is after Jesus has risen from the dead. He's meeting his followers. And here's what he tells them. Acts chapter 1, you can follow along there on your outline. Let me do this before we get there, just real quick. I want to give you an analogy so that it'll be in your mind as we go through this. I think a lot of times in our life, we're living life without power for living in the in-between times, without power for living for the bold moments either. We're just kind of living through life. And so it's kind of like this. It's been a while, maybe a year or so ago. There was some repair work I needed to do in my backyard. To do this repair work, I needed to dig a hole. And I'm not talking a little hole. Talking a really big hole, several feet wide, several yards long, and then like 5 feet deep. You know, so what do? Man, I roll up my sleeves, grab my, you know, 10-year-old, you know, which was a big help. You know, hey, let's, you know, put on my gloves, grab a shovel, and we go to it. And baby, we are digging. Now, I don't know if you've ever tried to dig in the Georgia clay. It is not easy. We're digging and chipping and chopping and moving. 3 hours later, hands are bleeding. My muscles, you know, are like just screaming, like, oh, you know, this is too much. And we look down, nowhere near where we needed to be. You know, I mean, you're like this deep and you're just going, oh, this is going to take forever. So I'm talking to a guy who goes to church here and just telling him what's going on. He says, well, he says, you know, I own a bobcat. I just stopped and said, thank you, God, for bobcats, you know, because you know what that is, right? That's like a tractor on steroids. Yeah, I mean, it's like, he said, I can come over and I can dig that hole. And I was like, well, baby, how soon can you be at my house? He comes over, unloads that thing, and like, boom, you know, pulls that, digs this hole, and we get the work done, pulls that thing, fills it back in, and drives off within just a couple of hours. And I'm just looking at that going, man, that was incredible. You know, had he not showed up, I'd probably be going home today to dig, you know. I'll see y'all next week, you know, I gotta dig this hole. But to be honest, I was thinking about that, I thought, that's just so much our life. It's like, we're Christians, and we grab the gloves, and we put them on, and we grab the shovel, and in our own strength and in our own power, we run out to attack, right? And we say, how can I make it, and how can I live, and how can I move, and how can I overcome, and how can I break this, and how can I not sin, and how can I live this out in such a way? And our arms are screaming, and our hands are bleeding, and at the end of the day, we're going, is this it? You know, God, really? I mean, is it just this constant feeling like I'll never get there, and it's always undone, and I'm just constantly failing in my own power, my own strength? And I think a lot of times in our life, it's like that. And we've been doing a really, really good job of trying to make it. It's just as leaving us short and leaving us feeling like there's still so much to do and there's such a long way to go. I wish there was something available with more power. And I want to let you know that there is. It's the power of God that he has already said. The same power that raised Christ from the dead will live and dwell inside of us and bring life to us, bring that power into our life. So as we go through this, I want you to keep that in mind, because when we talk about the Holy Spirit, again, it gets, you know, it gets weird, and people check out and they go, oh, I've heard this and I've seen that. And all I'm asking today is that as we talk about this, you'll say, God, is there something for me to be able to live this out, a life that brings honor and glory to you every day of my life? And I'm having a hard time doing that in my own gloves and with my own shovel and my own strength. And all I'm asking is that at the end of this, you would say, God, if you have more for me that I've missed out on, that's I want it. I want to be open to what you want to do in my life. So Acts chapter 1, picking up, if you have your Bible, if you want to flip there, if you want to turn there, grab your outline. Here's what it says, Acts 1 verse 4. On one occasion, while Jesus was eating with the disciples, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about, right? The gift of the Holy Spirit. It's what he had been talking about. You read through the end of John. Jesus has been telling them this is coming. As a matter of fact, in John 14, he says, I'm going to go away and send a gift. It's going to be better for you because it'll be the Holy Spirit. So he goes on, verse 5, for John, referring to John the Baptist, for John baptized with water, but in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Okay, so he's painting this picture. The word baptized there means immersed, okay? It means it's why we baptize the way we do. If you've ever been here for a baptism, we immerse people in the water, right? It's like your head's not still sticking out an arm. I mean, it's a full covering. You know, we dunk you down fully in the water. And as a matter of fact, if you've been really bad, we hold you under there for a while. No, just kidding. You'd be like, I ain't never getting baptized in this place. I just totally kidding, right? But it's this idea that when the water surrounds you, it's covered every part of you. When you get up out of the water, you're wet all over. And so Jesus is using the same picture to say when the Holy Spirit comes, you will be immersed. It will infect your whole life. There won't be a part of your life that is left out. He will bring himself into every area of your life. So he says you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. What will you be able to do? He said, you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria to the ends of the earth. When the Holy Spirit comes, when you're immersed, when you're baptized, when you receive the power, and that word power is the same word we get our word dynamite from. He says, when you receive this miraculous, this incredible power of God, it will change who you are. And you will take forth this message to the whole world. And listen, if I can right here, I don't think this does any harm to the scripture. I don't think he was just talking about going and preaching the message of Jesus. I think he was talking about going and living a life that is a testimony that includes sharing verbally, but it's a changed life that people look at your life and say, your words and your actions line up. I want what you have. Okay, so he's telling them, you will receive power to live this out and to be my witnesses, to share this message around the world. Now, why was this so important? Because you got to remember who he's talking to. He's talking to a bunch of cowards, right? At this moment, you know, they had just come from, and he'd been telling them all that, this is going to happen, guys. I'm going to die. This is what's going to happen. I'm going to send the Spirit. You know, even Peter, remember Peter says, Jesus, I'll never leave you. And then, you know, the night he's crucified, Peter runs and hides and denies him. As a matter of fact, when Jesus is crucified, how many of the disciples actually does the Bible say were there? One, right? All the other 11 decided, yeah, too scary. I'm hiding. You know, no time in the ministry of Jesus with the disciples does he ever go, hey, you guys, I don't even need to be here anymore. Y'all got it. You know, he's constantly going, come on, step forward, have faith, trust in me, you know, live this out. When Jesus comes back, when he's risen from the dead, the disciples are all hiding out. They're afraid. As a matter of fact, they get news that he's risen. They don't even believe it. Jesus shows up and they don't believe it. And one of them, 10 of them, go and tell Thomas, Jesus risen. Thomas is like, I don't believe it. I won't believe it until I can touch him, right? Because do you not think these people needed something different? And yet, here we sit, thousands of years later, because these very ordinary, scared, timid people, something changed. These same people that were running to hide ended up bringing forth a message that has changed your life. It's changed the world for the last thousands of years. What happened? What went on that made such a dramatic shift in their life? I think it's the power of the Spirit of God. And the Bible says the same Spirit is available to all who believe. So we got to take off our little gloves and put our shovel down and say, God, I need you. I want all of you that I can have. I don't want to be afraid of what I've heard. I just want to pursue you in everything that you have for me. So what I want to talk about a couple of things the Holy Spirit gives us power for in our life. And if any of these resonate for you, my hope is that you'll make your prayer, God, immerse me in your Spirit so that I can have power to live out your word. Here's the first one. The Holy Spirit gives you power, this is on your outline, to share Christ boldly. That was his initial promise, right? The Holy Spirit will give you power to share Christ boldly. Here's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 4 and 5. He said, my message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, right? He's saying, I'm not the best speaker around. He said, but my message came with the demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but instead on God's power. He says, you know what, I'm not the most eloquent speaker. I don't have all the words. I'm just trusting that as this goes forth, the power of the Holy Spirit will do something with this. Like, I feel this way, like all the time. I think I'm not the most eloquent. See, I can't even hardly get this out. I can't persuade. I'm not a salesman. Never have been. I'm not the most eloquent person to speak in the world. I'm not the polished preacher that some people are, and not that there's anything wrong with that. I long for that. My hope and what I've seen God do, though, is to be able to do something that I can't do, and that's to take the words that I speak to you and do something with them and speak to your heart through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because it's not my attempt to win you over. It's my attempt to share the word of God with you. Because I can tell you, and I've told some of this before, and some of you don't believe it, I am scared to get up here every week. I'm nervous. I'm not a huge people person. I'm sorry to break it to you, you know? And there are some Sundays you just scare me. You know, I mean, sometimes you just look at me and you never even smile. And I'm thinking, you know, give the pastor a break. Just fake smile on something, you know, just makes me feel better. You can ask my wife. I don't eat on Saturday night. I get nervous. The reason I don't eat isn't holy, like I'm fasting. It's because I know Sunday morning I'll be sick. Some of it is the weight of what I carry, what I do. Some of it is just knowing, God, in my own strength, this is not my life, choice to do this. But what I've noticed is I've surrendered to the Holy Spirit and said, God, I just need you to do this through me. God takes words and he does something with those words in your heart to where a lot of times after service, you'll say, you know, God really spoke to me through that. You know, God really said something. As a matter of fact, sometimes some of you guys will come to me and say, you know, when you said this, God really spoke. And I'm thinking, I don't think I ever said that. You know, so what's going on? It's the Spirit of God's talking to you. It's the demonstration of the power of the Spirit of God using my feeble attempt to share, to bring life to you. And so what I want to do is I want to encourage you with that, because I think a lot of times when we think about sharing our faith, we're afraid and we're scared and we say, I'm unqualified and I'm inadequate and I don't know and I can't. And I just want to tell you, one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in our lives is give us the boldness to share. And listen, my opinion, I don't think the boldness means you will all of a sudden go, I got this, baby. You know, I am bold and I'm going for it. I think the boldness for us means, you know what? I'm just going to rely that God's going to do this through me. And even in my fear, and even though I'm scared, and even though I am unqualified, I'm just going to do it. Because here's my prayer. My prayer for some of you today is you'll say, God, fill me with that power to share boldly. And this week, you're going to be talking to somebody, and God's going to give you that opportunity. And you're going to go, oh, this seems like they need to hear about Jesus. And you're going to be prompted by the Spirit, the Bible says, lives inside of us. And my encouragement is just to follow that Spirit. To say, okay, you know what? I'm going to try. And as you begin to speak, here's what I think happens, because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I think it's like a missile from heaven coming into your mind. It's like, boom, and you'll just start. And you'll say scripture you didn't even know you knew. You know, scripture that after you've talked, you're going to have to look in the Bible to make sure it really was in there. You'll be like, you know, and you'll be like, it's there. You know, I didn't even know I knew that. Why? Because it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will help you, and he will be bold and bring power through you. Don't wait for the moment that you go, I got this, I'm filled with boldness. Just step out and believe in the power of God, and God will lead you to the place where you'll say, I feel like I should pray for them. That's going to scare some of you to death, right? Because you'd be like, I don't even pray out loud over dinner. You know, I mean, what do I say? And I'm just telling you, again, you just begin to step out and say, God, you brought me here. Lord, you promised. You said through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would make me bold. I would be your witness all over the world. So that's all I'm going to do. And I believe you'll start praying, and it may be the most simple prayer in the world, but you'll be like, I don't know where these words are coming from. And I've got the faith to believe what I'm praying. What is that? It's the power of the Holy Spirit to help you live this out. I feel like so many of us don't share because we just don't feel like we know how, or we don't feel bold enough, or we don't feel like we can. And I'm telling you, one of the reasons the Holy Spirit has come, he wants to empower you to share your faith boldly. Trust in God. I believe for you this week, if you'll open yourself up to that, that God will bring himself through it, and you will be amazed at the power he gives you. Because it's not your power. The reason you're scared, you should be scared, because it ain't your own power. But when you overcome that and you say, God, I'm going to trust in you, God does incredible things through you. So that's one of the things the Holy Spirit wants to do in our life. Here's the next one in your outline. The Holy Spirit will give you power when you're weak. The Holy Spirit, I believe, is going to speak to some of you right now, because this is sometimes we live in this state. Here's what he says, Romans 8:26, the Bible says this, in the same way, the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. Now, how does he help us? Look at what it goes on to say. The Bible says, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us, prays for us, with groans that words cannot express. Okay, you got to stop for a minute and think, is this cool or what? The Bible says God himself, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will pray for you. Let me tell you, you can't get anybody better praying for you, all right? I know some prayer people that I ask to pray for me, but the Bible says when you're weak, God actually steps in, and the Spirit that lives inside of you and brings power to you will actually help you in your weakness and will actually pray and intercede for you. Now, let me ask you, how many of you have had a moment of weakness? How many of you in your life have had these times where you go, I don't know what to do. I don't know. Maybe you're a parent and you say, I don't even know what to do with my kids. And you say, God, I need your wisdom. The Bible says ask and God will give you his wisdom. You're at this place, maybe it's something even where you say, well, I don't know, does God even care about this? And you say, I'm just nervous. I got a job interview, I got to get up at work, I got to speak, I got to share, I got something going on at school, and I'm just scared to death. Ask God So God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you said the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives and dwells inside me. Would you help me with this? God says he will. You know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit? Jesus says this. He says, us being good people, he talks about father. He said, you being a good father, you know how to give good gifts to your children, right? And we go, yeah, we know that when we want to bless other people. He said, how much more does God want to give the Holy Spirit to them who ask? Because it's something that's a benefit and a blessing in our life. And Jesus says, all you got to do is ask and believe. He says, the Spirit of God empowers us, and he is strong when we're weak. It goes on to say this, and I love this, in 2 Corinthians 12:9-10, the Apostle Paul just being so transparent. He's got something going on. We call it a thorn in the flesh. And he says, God, take this away. And here's what God says. My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Then Paul says, therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness so that Christ's power may rest on me. For where I am weak, then I am strong. Listen, he's not saying, I go around just going, yep, I can't help myself. I'm weak, so I continue to give in. No, he's saying, look, I know I am weak here, and I would not be able to overcome this on my own. But because of the power of God, what I couldn't do in my own strength with those little gloves on digging, by the power of God, where I was weak, he was strong, and I am an overcomer through him. So I'll tell everybody, I couldn't have done that on my own. I am weak in that area. I have been addicted to that. I have been in that. I have been stuck there. I have been a failure. I didn't know what to do, and I was digging for my life. And then one day I said, God, I need your Spirit. And where I was weak, he was strong. And I am an overcomer because of the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, some of you today, I don't know what you believe about all of the Holy Spirit, but what you need is you need his strength. Because you got things going on in your life, and you're digging with all your might. And you say, I'm weak. And God says, man, in your weakness, I'll be strong through the power of my Spirit. Here's the next one. Let me move on. The Holy Spirit will give us power to have hope in a hopeless world. To have hope in a hopeless world. I got a call last Sunday, 5 a.m. My cousin, who's 3 months younger than I am, we were raised near each other and went to church together growing up, shot and killed himself. As far as I knew, Christian. My dad and his dad were brothers. Their dad was a pastor. Come to find out, you know, as he was an adult, there were things that were going on in his life I didn't know. When he was a kid, he was abused. A lot of craziness, and he'd been battling all his adult life. How does this happen? And who am I? And what's going on? And never could come to the place where he just had hope. And listen, I'm hurt. I'm mad at him. I think he took a cowardly way out. But here's the truth. I didn't live his life. I didn't walk in his shoes. I don't know what he dealt with. I don't know. And I'm not saying he didn't have the Holy Spirit. The only thing I was thinking is all week long, I thought we live in a hopeless world where bad stuff happens. And I wish I knew why. Where things go on and we hurt and we have pain and there's disappointment. It's that in-between time where it's, God, where are you? What's happening? And why is this going on? And I think what we need is we need power for hope in a hopeless world. Listen to what the scripture says. Romans 15:13. Paul says this, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope. How? By the power of the Holy Spirit. So that you may overflow. I got this glass right here, and this glass has water in it. And I think a lot of times this is our life. There's water in there. But is this overflowing? No. How would I have to make this glass overflow? I would have to put it under a source that kept pouring into the glass. Because what happens, I can make the glass overflow once, but then once it stops overflowing, it doesn't overflow anymore, right? It's just back to normal. So to make it overflow and to keep it overflowing, I have got to put this under a source that continually fills this glass so that it constantly overflows. And I think that's what the Apostle Paul is saying, that we live our lives in such a way with this dependence upon the power of God that we say, God, I just want to be filled with your Spirit like all the time. Like every day and every moment, because I live in the world. And let me tell you, it has probably been one of the hardest weeks of my life with that and with some other things that have been going on. And said, God, I need that hope in the in-between time that only you can bring. So I don't know if this resonates with you, but I think for a lot of us, we just need the power that I can't really fully explain, but that only comes from God. And God has promised to give us that power, to give us hope. Here's the truth. We put our hope in anything other than God, it always lets us down. Hope in stuff, hope in people, hope in circumstances, it never makes us overflow. But when we ask God, God, immerse me in your Holy Spirit, that I may be filled to overflowing with hope that comes from the power of the Holy Spirit, I think he does something in us. And let me say this, if you lose your job, put your hope in God to be your provider. If you find out someone is sick, put your hope in God and the Holy Spirit to be your healer. If you find yourself worried about tomorrow, put your hope in God and let the Holy Spirit be your comforter. If you lose someone that you love, as much as it hurts, put your hope in God. The Bible even says we don't mourn like people that have no hope. It says one day, those who believe in Jesus, we will be back together in his presence. And he says, as much as it hurts, you don't lose hope. Why? Because through the power of the Spirit, we're constantly being filled to overflowing with hope. So for some of you today, here's the message. Are you overflowing? Have the power of the Spirit in operation in your life. And so maybe for you, your prayer is just, God, I need you. I need your Spirit to live and immerse me in the Holy Spirit so that I can overflow with hope. Here's the last one. The Holy Spirit will give you power to experience all the fullness of God. Here's what I mean by that. Have you ever noticed, like, in our churches and in our country, so many people, it feels like we've kind of reduced Christianity down to the lowest common denominator. Check the box, I prayed the prayer, I went to church, I try to do good, I'll read the Bible if I don't forget, and we live out life. And I think, what are we doing? We're putting the gloves on and we're grabbing the shovel and we're digging. We get to that point, we're just worn out. We look at our lives and other people look at our lives and just go, you know, the Christian life we're living doesn't appear to be any different from anybody else's life who doesn't claim to be Christian. Same struggles, same defeats, same addictions, same choices. Is this the fullness of God in our life that he wants to bring? Listen to the prayer Paul prayed over the church at Ephesus, and this is my prayer for us. He prayed this: I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen you with power from the Holy Spirit, in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, this power that comes from God, that you may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses the knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Have you ever wondered, is there more? Is there more to Christianity than like not doing the big bad stuff and trying to do the good stuff? My answer is yes. There is so much more. There's a reality of the constant presence of God through the Holy Spirit that you can have with you. This peace that the Bible says surpasses all human understanding and ability to understand can manifest itself in our lives. And you begin to bring forth the fruit of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. That you can be led every day by the Spirit and walk by faith and not by sight, that you can have joy unspeakable, that you can have supernatural strength, that you can be rooted and established in the very secure love of Christ that you can live a supernatural life in this natural world. I believe all of that. My prayer is, God, let us as people just ask, Lord, if there's more of you that I'm missing, I want all of you that I can handle. Lord, would you immerse me in the Holy Spirit? Would you bring power in my life? I want to experience the fullness of God. I need hope in a hopeless world. Lord, would you be strong when I am weak? And God, would you give me the boldness, the power to live this life every day, even in the in-between times, in such a way that my life is a testimony to you. Will you pray with me?